All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and we continue on in our Christian character development series and the series within the series on the fruit of the Spirit. What does Christ-like character or Christian character really look like in an individual's life? And we are covering each one of these. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 says, is love. We talked about what that is. It comes from God. It is of God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. We've covered all of these aspects of what ought to be demonstrated and evident in the life of a saint of God. And tonight we're going to consider the next one, faith. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Some call this chapter Faith's Hall of Fame, and there's certainly many names that are mentioned here and how they operated in faith and saw the promises of God. We're not going to cover those tonight, but I want to draw your attention to verse 6, where the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The very first part of this verse is really what we're going to focus on as we go through on this subject of faith tonight. We're not going to cover it exhaustively. We certainly can't in one message. But the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. What does that tell us about the necessity or the importance of faith in the Christian life? If there's ever any hope of pleasing God, our lives need to be evidenced, or there needs to be a demonstration of faith in the life of a saint of God. It is a Christian character. It is a Christ-like character. The word faith appears 247 times in the Scripture. And it's in reference to our faith to God for salvation, our faith in God for life, for the life that we live after salvation. And essentially, what we understand when we cover the subject of faith is that the entirety of Christian life, the beginning of it all the way to the end of it, is revolving around faith. And without it, it's impossible to please God. God's definition of faith is verse 1 of this chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And simply put, faith is just taking God at His word. That's really the sum of it all. Faith is taking God at His word. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's really a matter of taking God at His word. There are a lot of things in this life that we trust in. There's a lot of things that we believe in or things that we hold on to that ultimately will leave us disappointed in this life. Not so with God. God is the only one that we can truly have faith in because He's never lied, nor can He lie, according to Titus chapter 1. In verse 2, which says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Faith is simply taking God at His word. Things that He's promised. Things that He has said. The word faith in our text in Galatians 5:22 is the Greek word pistis, and it means persuasion, it means assurance, it means belief. And here's really a full definition of it. Faith is a full and affectionate confidence in God's character and the certainty of those things which He has declared. Really, faith is confidence, full assurance and belief and confidence in God's character and the things that He has most definitely said, all the things that He has declared. Taking God at His word. There's a lot of misunderstanding or fallacy surrounding faith in Christian culture and even outside of Christian culture in the world. A lot of people say that people who live a life of faith are fools because faith to them is simply a blind leap. And a lot of evolutionists or even agnostics in the world call people who live by faith, you know, people who just operate by blind faith. When they speculate that faith is nothing more than a leap out into the dark. However, faith is never a leap into the dark. It's always based upon the firmest foundation there can be, and that's the Word of God. And the person who really walks in faith never walks through life blind. Actually, we walk knowing exactly what is ahead because our faith is in something that God has already said. Amen? Faith is simply our response to the promises of God for our life. Faith is not a blind leap. Faith is not a blank check either. Because of the name it, claim it crowd in Christianity, people have been taught that if they want something from God, then they're to pray about it, and then they're to believe it with all of their heart, and then they're supposed to look to wait for it to happen. Well, I wonder how many times people have been discouraged in faith and disappointed with God because he didn't do it like they wanted him to do it, right? What's the problem there? Well, according to James chapter 4 and verse 3, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And all too often, that's really the motivation behind this name it, claim it attitude and crowd. Faith is not a blank check. God is not our little cosmic Santa Claus just waiting for us to place an order so then we can drive away with whatever we want. That's not faith. It's not a blank check. It's not a blind leap either. But faith is never a bad choice. Some people say it is. There are those who would say that it's foolish to walk or live in total and utter dependence upon the Lord. However, the Christian who determines to truly live his life by faith in God and his Heavenly Father will never be disappointed with God, nor will he struggle through life blindly. The person who lives by faith experiences a settled peace and assurance that God is absolutely in control of all situations, and he'll always accomplish his will in the lives of his people. You know, people get so frantic, and the election time rolls around, and all we have to choose from is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. What are we going to do? You know, well, I guess we have to vote for Donald Trump because there's the opposite of that is just horrendous, and we can't stomach that. You know what? I can't stomach it either. But neither one is the savior of America. Regardless of who our leaders are, our faith needs to be in God, and that gives us settled peace that no matter who it is, God is still in control. Things like that really ultimately test, you know, where our focus is and where our faith is. And on the surface, you know, at least it appears that Donald Trump is making some good decisions, and I hope he follows through with some of the things that he said. It could be good for our country. But you know what? That could turn around overnight. Then what? Our faith still needs to be in God, doesn't it? Those are the things that bring the ultimate peace. It's never, never a bad choice to have faith in God. And so we see that faith is of the utmost importance. The entirety of the Christian life is built on faith, and without it, it's impossible to please God. You can see the importance of it. And to think that it would be something that we could conjure up, or to think that it'd be something that we could work harder to produce in our life, listen, we would fail miserably, amen? That's why faith is a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of our work and our effort. As a saint of God, as a child of God. So we see its importance, but I want to talk with you for a few minutes here about how faith is commanded of us. We know that without it, it's impossible to please the Lord, but faith is something that's commanded of us. Faith is a must before and after salvation. You cannot come to God or please God without it, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Faith, as we've stated, is the basis and the foundation of the entire Christian life. And listen, some things, we know this in life to be true, some things just don't work without all the parts. You got to have all the parts and pieces or the thing's not going to work. You know, ladies, when you're baking up some delicious dessert that you want to, you know, bake for your pastor. Did I say that out loud? I'm not allowed to eat it. I'm supposed to be on a diet. It's a bad word. Anyway, if you don't have all the ingredients that the recipe calls for, it's not going to work. And so it is with faith in the Christian life. Things just don't work as God intends them to in your life without faith. Confidence in God. Listen, faith for the child of God and confidence in God should be as natural to the saint of God as it is for a little girl to have confidence in her daddy. Years ago, there's a captain of a large vessel that set sail. And it set sail, the captain of the vessel set sail with his family from Liverpool, and his destination was New York. And one night, when everyone was asleep, a sudden squall arose, and the wind came sweeping over the water, and struck the vessel and almost capsized the boat. Everything that was movable was sent tumbling and crashing, some into the sea. And the passengers became aware that they were in imminent peril. Everyone was alarmed, and many sprang from their berths and began to get dressed. The captain's little daughter, just 8 years old, was awakened and cried with fright, "What's the matter?" When they told her about the storm, she asked, "Is father on deck?" Assured that he was, the little one dropped back onto her pillow without fear. In spite of the howling winds and crashing waves, she was soon fast asleep again. That same confidence that she had in her daddy ought to be the attitude of every Christian. As we face rough seas and stormy days of life, we're commanded to live by faith and confidence in our Father. The Bible tells us that we're to live and to walk by faith. We know that faith is required for salvation, Ephesians 2:8-9. But the Bible also tells us that faith is required for answered prayer. Look with me in James chapter 1. We're in our Sunday school hour. Brother Humphrey is teaching on the subject of prayer. And it's so vital for the Christian life. But prayer can never be without being mixed with faith. Faith in God. In James chapter 1 in verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Faith is imperative for answered prayer. Faith is imperative for pleasing God, Hebrews 11:6. Our faith is something, unfortunately, it's not something that once you have it, you always have it. Faith can be increased or it can be decreased depending on our response. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 5, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. And you know, our desire should be the same as saints of God, that God would strengthen and enlarge and increase our faith. God wants our faith in Him to be increased and to grow. All too often, though, we're smart Christians, see? We know our Bibles well enough to know that if I ask the Lord to increase my faith or enlarge my faith, that's going to mean something that I don't know that I'm ready for or want. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So we shy away from that aspect of asking the Lord to increase my faith. How is our faith to grow? God wants our faith in Him to grow. But how? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly that the very first way that our faith grows is by a continual diet of the Word of God. A continual diet of the Word of God. In John chapter 20, in verse 30 says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. These things are written in this book, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ." It's not a wonder. In Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. A continual diet of the Word of God is so necessary for our faith to grow. It's not a wonder that people are weak in faith when people don't have a regular personal time with the Lord themselves. Not feasting on the Word of God. Not studying God's Word, not applying it to their life. It's not a wonder that their faith is anemic and weak. And that any little thing that comes along seems to uproot the apple cart or capsize the boat of their life. No confidence in God because they're feasting on His Word. Our faith grows when we have a steady and a regular diet of the Word of God. People who don't care enough to show up to the house of God when the doors are open to be fed the Word of God are going to be people who are weak in faith. Another way that we grow is by preaching. Look at Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10. We grow in faith through preaching, through a continual diet of the Word of God, through preaching. Romans 10, verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Believing on Christ is through preaching. And we could say, well, this is a reference to salvation. Absolutely it is. But our faith in Christ doesn't stop the moment that we get saved. Our faith in Christ is to continue and to grow throughout our Christian life. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is growing in our faith. It comes about through preaching of the Word of God. But then we also find in James, in a more specific manner in the Christian life, that our faith grows through trials. Through trials. In James 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." We've talked about this before. Those words, "fall into," they don't mean like an accident where you just happen to slip and fall into the puddle. That's not what those words mean. The words mean to be surrounded by. And so the Scriptures are teaching, count it all joy when you're surrounded on all sides by what? Different kinds of temptations. That word means adversity or experience, not adverse experiences, not necessarily temptation to sin. And so he says, count it all joy when you're surrounded completely by adverse situations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How does growth happen? through increased faith. How does increased faith happen? Through trial and test and hardship. God wants us, our faith, to grow. Our faith can be increased. And those trials often, when our eyes are on the Lord, have a way of causing us to be dependent upon God and looking to the Lord as the only one who is the solution to the problem or the situation. And when the Lord sees us through, what happens? We look back and our faith in God grows because the Lord is faithful. But our faith can be weakened just as our faith can be strengthened or increased. Our faith can be weakened. Like I said, unfortunately, faith is not like, you know, salvation, that once you have it, you forever have it. It's something that needs to be exercised. And just as we can have our faith increased, we can also decrease in faith. Jesus made mention several times of his disciples and their faith being weak. Remember in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40 when the storm came up and the disciples came to Jesus, "Don't you care that we perish?" Remember that? What did Jesus say to them? He said, "You have no faith." Remember in Matthew chapter 6, we're covering Matthew 6 in our Sunday school hour. Right after Jesus gives the model prayer, he says to his disciples, "O ye of little faith." Look in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and verse 31. Here is Peter walking on the water, and remember how he said to the Lord, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And so Jesus said, "Okay, come on." Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Here's just two or three examples of Jesus making mention of the fact that at times, the faith of the disciples was weak. It was little, or it was no faith. It's almost like there's a measurement here of faith that these men had or could have in the Lord. And so we find that our faith can be increased through our responses and through the Word of God, but it can also be weakened. What is it that can weaken our faith? Well, the very first thing that came to my mind was the fact that false doctrine always weakens faith. If you look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." False doctrine will weaken our faith. You can't have it if the foundation is wrong to begin with. Sometimes tragedy can weaken a person's faith if their response isn't right. How many times has a broken heart and somebody's eyes not being fixed on the Lord caused a person's faith to waver? Does God even care? But when a person's eyes are fixed on the Lord, like Job, we could confidently say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Backsliding, inordinate affections, love of money, those are all fleshly things that will weaken a person's faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, inordinate affections, love of money. Hey, you know, if I can trust in temporal things, no need to trust in God, right? Another thing that can weaken our faith is wrong influences in our life. Having the wrong kind of friends and the wrong influences in life can weaken faith. Look with me in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it means to be diligent here, to apply God's word. And he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, the wrong influences in our life can overthrow or weaken and diminish faith. Whoever was friends with Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were influenced, and their faith was overthrown. The point is that our faith can be increased, it can be weakened, but what we need to understand is that faith, it ought to be practiced. It needs to be exercised in every area of our lives. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I wish we had the time to study all this out, but as a saint of God, the Bible tells us in Romans 1:17 that we're to live by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 says we're to stand in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we're to walk by faith. 1 Peter 5:8 and verse 9 says to resist the devil by faith. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, we're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one by faith. Where's the success in the Christian life? By faith. We're to abide in faith. That means to dwell in it, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. We're to strive together for faith, Philippians 1:27. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, Paul told Timothy, you follow after faith. Colossians 1:23 says to continue in faith. But 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 says we are to add to our faith. Again, all of the Christian life revolves around faith, and without it, it's impossible to please the Lord. Faith is commanded. But if we walk by faith and we live by faith, according to the Word of God, we're going to find that our faith is rewarded. Our faith is rewarded. What is the result or the reward of faith? Well, the outcome is always going to be good because faith pleases God. Amen? God is happy when we trust in Him. Faith will calm the fears that we have. You know what? I'm not promised to be sheltered from bad things in this Christian life. But in the midst of them, I have God's promise of Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen? That calms my fear. Faith also cushions our fall. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm not immune from sin. I'm not immune from temptation. But when and if I fall, I have God's promise of 1 John 1:9 that says, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What did we say faith was? Taking God at His word. What did we say faith was? It's responding to the promises of God. That's what faith is. Faith confirms my future. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, but I do know this, that when all my tomorrows are gone and they're finished, I have a future that's secured in the Lord. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. It wouldn't have mattered if Hillary Clinton was elected as president. I have the promise that my future is secure. Faith challenges my failures. What do I mean by that? Well, a person that really trusts the Lord, believes promises like Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So faith says that we can be all that God wants us to be. Faith accepts the notion that we don't have to settle for second best. No matter what our past is, God has a purpose for me, the absolute best for my life, and I believe that I can do all that He wants me to do through Him. I don't have to settle for second best and woe is me and this is all I'm good for because I've made so many mistakes. No! That's not a faith. Faith challenges my failures. Faith says I don't have to live to a lower standard, especially the standard of this world. I'm going to take God at His word, that He hath begun a good work in me, and He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, in spite of my failures. Faith is rewarded. If your faith was put into a measuring cup, what amount would you have? Would you be like the disciples with no faith? Or little faith? The longer that we're saved, the richer in faith we ought to become. Did you hear that? I've been saved for 37 years. Man, you ought to be a giant of faith. The more that we see God's power and the more that we enjoy His presence, the stronger our faith will be. But see, that's the condition. It doesn't matter, really, if we've been saved for 37 years if we've not been walking with God. The more that we see His power and enjoy His presence, the stronger our faith will be, which increases what God can do and will do in our lives. Have you ever experienced that? Here's something that we've got to trust the Lord for. We don't know what the answer is going to be or where it's going to come from. And so we get on our face before God and we say, God, this is, you know the need, and this is what we need to have happen here. We want you to be glorified. Would you do this? We don't have an answer, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is in your hands. And then when we watch God work and accomplish His will, what does that do? God does answer prayer. And God does do the miraculous. And that should prepare us for the fact that God wants to do greater. And we can grow on those instances of faith. The more that we see His power, the more that we experience His presence, the richer in faith we ought to become. Of the 9 characteristics that are mentioned in Galatians 5:22, as fruit of the Spirit, there's probably more taught about faith than any of the others. But I would wonder if that's because faith is both the foundation and the practice of our life, and without it, it's impossible to please God. Besides the fact that we as mortals like to walk by sight instead of faith, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit of God to help us trust in the One who has saved us and who has sealed us. That's Jesus Christ. We need God's help, the Spirit of God, to help us really live a life of faith. And again, this is not about working harder to produce faith in our life. Rather, it's more yielding to the Spirit of God and then simply responding to His promises. That means every day, Lord, I yield my life to you today. Lord, I want your Spirit to control me today. You've given me a new day of life. And this day is to be used for your glory. Lord, I want to be emptied of myself. I want to be a clean vessel. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I yield it to you today. You take me, you use me. Every day, yielding to the Spirit of God. It's not about working harder. Okay, well, I just have to believe God even more. I just have to trust in God. Well, you do. But how do we do that? By yielding and surrendering to the Holy Spirit of God more and more. Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of our flesh. I'll close with this illustration here. There was a tightrope walker who did some unbelievable feats. And all over Paris, he would do his tightrope acts at extreme heights. He would do them blindfolded. Then he would do it blindfolded while pushing a wheelbarrow, never with a net underneath. An American promoter read about this in the papers, and he wrote a letter to this tightrope walker saying, "Mr. Tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, besides all your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." Mr. Tightrope wrote back and said, "Sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I'd love to come." Many people came to see this event. Mr. Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and come to the American side. He went across the rope, which was suspended over the most treacherous part of the falls, and he did it blindfolded. He made it across rather easily, actually. Amidst the cheering, the tightrope walker went to the promoter and he said, "Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. I mean, I just saw you do it." "No," said the tightrope, "Mr. Tightrope, do you really believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. You just did it." "No, no, 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 no," said Mr. Tightrope. "Do you believe I can do it?" "Well, yes, Mr. Promoter, I believe you can do it." "Good," said Mr. Tightrope. "Then why don't you get in the wheelbarrow?" That's a funny story. I wouldn't test my faith in this man's abilities either. Not with my life anyway. But you know what? That's not so with the Lord. How often are we like this man with God? You know, we say we believe Christ can do it, but all too often refuse to put feet to our faith by getting in the wheelbarrow, as it were. The proof of our faith is not in just the fact that we say we believe. The proof of our faith is in our response to the promises of God, putting feet to our faith. Faith is a fruit. It's fruit from a Spirit-filled life. And that fruit is a life of believing and trusting in God. What does Christian character really look like? It looks like somebody who has real faith in God. Not somebody who trusts in their own abilities or temporal things or who even really lives a life for themselves. It's characterized by a life of faith, dependent upon the Lord, by yielding more and more to the Holy Spirit of God. And he gives the ability. Amen? Trust in God. Faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that we're not left to our own devices or our own abilities. Lord, you've commanded us to live by faith, and you said it's impossible to please the Lord without faith, but you didn't leave us to our own accord to try to produce that in our life. You said if we would walk in the Spirit, we wouldn't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And you said if we would yield to the Lord and yield to the Spirit of God, that these things that please you would be produced in our life through the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, that we can be pleasing to you, and we can walk by faith and not by sight, but through your power, through your ability, through the Holy Spirit of God controlling our life. Lord, I pray that you'd grow us up in you. Help us to be people of faith who trust in the Lord. And Father, I pray that it would show in the lives that we live and that people would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Help us to show true Christ-like character. In Jesus' name, amen.